ones that all worked and did everything. We just gave them to people. They would use them without perhaps thinking as much about them, without considering them. They might use them in ways that are not ideal. Now, one might say, well, that's their choice. You know, it's not up to us to tell people not to teach the way they choose. But I do think there's something deeper in there about how much of a solution do we want to offer as compared to sort of half a solution that then you still need to contextualize, you still need to adapt for yourself.
Just sort of picking up on that, James, I think the idea of these kind of generic learning designs is attractive on the one hand, but I also think that when you actually run any kind of design or when you're involved in any teaching situation, you are constantly adapting. So I think it's important to have proper evaluations in place as well, so what you're saying doesn't happen. And we talked a bit about that yesterday. You know, we don't just want to have a factory of designs coming out. And I think that's where the role of the teacher is important, and ensuring that tools can allow people to make the appropriate interventions. Because the way, even if you're given a paper plan, the way that two teachers would teach to that plan is completely different, and we want to make sure that that happens in online learning as well. So I think as long as, you know, we encourage that and make sure that the teaching process isn't forgotten about and the tools can actually help people, as I said, make the correct interventions, then I don't think we'll have this kind of factory approach, and I think people will be thinking and constantly adapting, and it's just allowing people to get the confidence to be able to use things, I suppose.
Yeah, I think in effect we can be accused of an arrogance here. We sort of underestimate the professionalism of teachers. And I have seen some teachers who are just handed out the photocopied sheet. But I guess that as long as we do maintain the ability to have whatever we hand out editable, then there's going to be that inevitability of customization, because that's just what professional teachers do. But I think the issue that we've also got here is that in the higher ed sector, we don't have professional teachers. And so we've got that tension there straight away, whereby if they do just teach what we hand them, and has been designed by experts, then perhaps the end product is actually better than if they'd had to harrow through what and produce something that they'd done themselves.
In my opinion, education is a dynamic process. Its classroom is unique, and if you have, if the context is face to face, you have you have a teacher that he manages the process. Okay, you maybe in his mind or in his paper he has a lesson plan, but never he follow exactly the lesson plan because of the dynamics, because its pupil is unique, its student is unique, its teacher is unique, and its time is unique. The needs are changed. And I believe that we have to offer just good practice and to exchange general experience that we have seen that are working well. This is the goal for the pedagogical planners. And another thing, in my opinion, and for LAMPS and for all of this tool, is how we can help the novice teachers to prepare better pedagogical plans. Because as we have seen in some small experiments in our university, our students that are the prospective teacher of high schools, they don't design correct lessons. They usually follow their behavioral experience and stop there. Of course, it's the easy way, because if you have only to say, I have to present this, I have to pose some questions, and after I have to assess writing a test, is the easy way. But If you have to design a different process with collaborative, with a group, with groups, it's something else. But I believe that there are techniques that we can offer advices to teachers how to use correct the techniques and good exams. And after, they have the ability to adapt these good exams in their needs. But the problem is that we are, as teachers, we don't share all our good exams. This is a problem. And we start from our slides. We don't share our slides. There are slides, websites for sharing, but it's a limited.
We're coming up to morning tea, so if there's any particular comment people want to say sort of out of that discussion, now's probably a good moment to grab that. And then after that, we'll stop, have some morning tea, and come back and have a couple of presentations and then sort of see where the discussion next takes us. So, any burning thoughts, comments, questions from where we've got to so far? Yeah, Sheila.
Just one point, just going back to what you were saying about the philosophical debate. And on the one hand, yes, I do think we still need to have that. But on the other hand, I think we need to be very careful in this kind of community that we're not always just having the philosophical debate, and we actually show some practical, you know, something that will practically help practitioners. Because if we don't do that, they'll just say, "Oh, that lot there with their mad pedagogical planners." That's just so far away from what I actually need to do. So I think we are getting there. I think now we've got more and more examples of good practice, and we really need to try and keep showing that to the community. So I think there's a place for the debate about reuse, but we maybe need to frame that in terms of, well, actually, we need to maybe think about more business cases of why you would want to reuse and why it would actually help you, you know, and have evidence of, you know, people maybe reusing something and it helped them with student retention rates or whatever. But I think we have to contextualize that for people.
For me, that, I mean, it's absolutely true. The more practice we get, the more we understand. But I even think that is now part of the way we should do our philosophy as well. I mean, in the Web 2 language, it's the perpetual beta. It's the idea that, you know, you just need to get out and do stuff, because it's not until you do it that you, in fact, see how it works in practice, which leads you to reflect again on your underlying philosophy and think how that might change. You know, the idea that we could sit in a vacuum and think our way through to the perfect learning design solution and then just implement it. You know, what in software is called the waterfall approach to software. You know, you just build it and then you stick it out and you're done with the software. You know, it's very rare that that works these days. So often we're dealing in areas with so much complexity and unknown that the way to work is, in fact, build something, anything, small thing, but then go out and see how people react to it, how they use it, what they think of it, and immediately iterate that back into your further thinking and development, not just so that you build something nice, but so that you actually think through the underlying concepts in a deeper and richer way, because you need the reality of what happens rather than the vacuum of, you know, through sheer brain power, we will think up a solution and then give it to people and they will like our solution. You know, this, I mean, that may happen sometimes, but it seems increasingly rare. You know, so many of the successful web businesses today, be it Facebook and others, you know, their success is not because someone had just such a phenomenal idea and they did it. It's actually they had a good idea, did it a bit, and then started iterating very rapidly as they got more sense of what worked and what didn't. So yes, the more we do of this, I think the more we actually will do better philosophy, better theory behind it as well.
Yeah, we want to sort of embrace that kind of perpetual beta, but most institutions don't actually work like that. They are still working in sort of a traditional waterfall method in terms of implementing technology, so there's a tension there as well.
Last comment? Okay, well, thank you everyone for those thoughts. Why don't we stop for a little while now? I think we've got half an hour roughly for some morning tea. I'm conscious some people really need coffee after the big win last night, so please drink much coffee and then you can talk fast in the next session. And when we come back, we'll have a couple more presentations and then we'll see how we go. Also, I should say, I'm keen, however we run this, if this kind of roving mic is working, great, we can do more of that. If you have other ideas, maybe we should break up into groups, maybe we should brainstorm. You know, I'm completely open, so feel free to grab me over coffee with thoughts on, you know, how best to use this time well.